pressures on our emergency departments were serious enough to warrant a special plea to the public yesterday to consider other options for non-urgent care. The Health and Social Care Board and the Public Health Agency said the system was under high level of pressure, and the Southern Eastern Trust said pressure at the Ulster Hospital's emergency department was extreme. And all this happening, of course, while some nurses were told this morning are flying off to England at weekends to pick up extra shifts to boost their wages. We have with us this morning Sinn Féin's Maeve McLaughlin, who's chair of the Health Committee. We had as well hoped to speak to the Health Minister as well, but we're told that he is not available. We also have Janice Smith, who's director of the Royal College of Nursing. Maeve, first of all, to you. So here we are again at the start of another year with lots of pressure out there.
Yes, there's no doubt about that. And I suppose the people he has spoke to, just as individuals and people working in the system, would actually remark on, you know, you can almost set your watch by the pressures that are exposed, particularly in our emergency departments. There's no doubt that there's a system under pressure. And there's no doubt that there's societal issues that impact as well. We do have an ageing population, and that brings demands on the system, on any system. But there are actions and initiatives that could be taken, and could be taken swiftly. There have been proposals brought forward from the College of Emergency Medicine, for example, who have, over a number of years ago, in fact, that the proposals are with the previous health ministers and are now on Simon Hamilton's desk. Things like looking at, if you like, a filter system through our emergency departments for our ageing population. The number of elderly people who turn up at our departments because they're in the wrong medication. Looking at things like co-location of services, minor injury units being co-located within hospital structures, if you like. Mm-hmm. And I think importantly as well, the issue about recruitment. Because it's not just a case of saying, whilst we need to recruit, just making a general statement around that. We need to look first and foremost at the issue around pay, but we also need to look at the types of staff that we need in our emergency departments. For example, you know, we're hearing over the last number of hours about our accident and emergency department and people there because of delayed admissions. We should have a process there where we have posts such as emergency nurse practitioners who can actually admit or discharge.
So are you saying then that part of the problem is we don't have the right staff in place to deal with these pressures as well as the shortage of beds? Is that what you're saying?
I think there is clearly an issue around workforce planning. I think it is irresponsible, to say the least, that we're 3.5 years into a strategy direction which was effectively about trying to keep people out of hospitals, looking at community care, primary intervention, all of those good sound models. And we hadn't done the workforce planning bit. And it was only, I have to say, by exposure through the committee in the last number of months that we realised that the department don't even have a figure of the amount of staff that they need to implement the changes that are required for all of us. Mm-hmm. So, yes, there are clearly flaws in relation to workforce planning. And the big debate is not necessarily about numbers, but it's about the types of staff that we need. And again, you know, I make the point, when we're also faced then with the stark reality of telling people to look at alternative options when those alternative options aren't being invested.
Okay, I'm going to come to Janice in a moment or two, but before I do, I just want to ask anybody out there who has experienced an accident and emergency department over the course of the past 48 hours or so, indeed 72 hours. I see some people quoted in the newspapers today about some of the conditions that they endured and some of the weights as well that they had endured. Get in touch with the programme. Tell us your story. 030 30 80 55 55, the text number 817 71. Janice, what are your people telling you about conditions on the ground right now?
Well, I suppose the first thing that I'd like to say is that it isn't a surprise to the Royal College of Nursing, and it was as we anticipated it to be. And that's because if you keep, doing the same thing, you keep getting the same thing. And Maeve McLaughlin's already said, I mean, the failure of bringing any realisation to transforming your care policy and modernising and reforming our services to meet the needs of the people who live here in Northern Ireland. I mean, we just have not done that. So therefore, we end up in this position.
And would that solve the kind of crisis we're in now?
Well, I think it certainly would help. And Maeve's also already touched on the nursing workforce and or on the workforce as a whole. And she's absolutely right. I mean, we have not done any proper workforce planning for health and social care in this country, you know, for several years now. And we're just burying our heads in the sand. And I think people, some people may have a view that workforce planning, you know, the outcome of that will cost money, but actually it might not. And if you look at advanced nurse practitioners, for example, and specialist nurses, there is plenty of evidence now to suggest that they are actually value for money, that they can provide very good services to patients at a lower cost, and that they do deliver very good outcomes for patients. So I think that it's very short-sighted, and I think...
And who do you blame for all of that?
Well, I think we've fallen into the trap in the department and within our trust of knowing the cost of everything and the value of nothing. And I think that's a very unfortunate position to be in. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think we need to remember, and certainly in social media over the holiday period, there were patients attending some of our emergency departments who were on social media commending the staff and the service that they received. However, there are a growing number of patients, and I think 45 in one of our ED departments, who are actually lying on trolleys waiting in beds. And can I just say that for the nurses, that is absolutely horrendous, because that's not a place to nurse patients.
Okay.
And secondly, we don't have the nursing workforce now to call upon to deal with those peaks in demand.
OK, I'm going to talk to you in a moment or two as well about that news this morning that nurses from here are travelling to England to do shifts over there to boost their wages. But before I do, I want to hear from David, who had an experience in the Royal, I think, over the weekend. David.
Yes, well, my partner was rushed in an ambulance on Saturday. Now, I have to say, the nursing staff and the doctors were first class. But the point I'm trying to make is, because my partner is disabled and they are taken into hospital quite a bit, and there's really long overdue that the health minister starts charging alcoholics and people who are abusing this system and putting strain on the A&E. It shouldn't be there, in my view. Billing them for the putting people in, they're putting these people in trolleys, they're shedding all over the A&E with alcohol in them, and I'm wondering to myself, is it not near time that the health minister, Simon Hamilton...
But why single out people with alcohol problems? Because it is an illness, David.
Well, hold on a second. I don't believe Action Emergency is the right place for them, first of all. And secondly, if people have an illness, they should be getting some form of treatment. I witnessed a 70-year-old woman, blocked, and she was actually disgracing herself. Everybody was looking around going to myself, like, what is going on here? And, you know, the staff, the nurses and the doctors were professional and they're doing their job well. Why should they have to put up with this kind of attitude of alcoholics coming in, day out, into the hospital? And the Action Emergency, new building at the Royal Victoria Hospital, it's not improving people getting in and getting out as quickly as possible, because if these people are blocking these beds and blocking these
toilets... But a woman like that, David, needs help. She doesn't need a bill.
Well, she does need a bill, because the bill is certainly waking her up. And at the end of the day, how many times have we heard this story time and time again of these people with alcohol problems blocking up ME beds and stuff in hospitals? We need to deal with this, and we need to deal with this firmly. And I would definitely, I wouldn't hesitate in charging these people for the time that they're wasting, vital nurses and doctors.
And if they refuse to pay, do you turn them away?
I would take them off their benefits. I would take them off something. I would make sure they paid the price for abusing the system at A&E. That's the only way you're going to stop this. And it is an absolute disgrace that our A&E are picking through us time and time again.
Yeah. And what about those people who turn up with minor ailments, so to speak? The Trust telling us today that they're encouraging people to think of other options before they turn up and waste good time in an A&E department.
That's absolutely true. You know, we have, there's North Belfast, there's a doctor's surgery thing there in Crumlin Road, and South Belfast, you've won it, not breathing. Why is people not, if people have hurt themselves in a minor way, why are they not going to these places? They shouldn't be blocking up for people who really do need the help.
And how, out of interest, how long did you spend waiting for treatment at the weekend? Your partner?
They were taking it at 2 o'clock in the morning. We got up there at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. It was 2 o'clock in the Sunday morning before they were transferred to another hospital.
So
that is not the blame of the hospital. That's the blame of people abusing the system in A&E.
So you sat, just to be clear, from 10 o'clock on Saturday morning all the way through until 2 o'clock the following morning before you found yourself a bed?
before they were transferred to another hospital. It wasn't bed was the problem. It was to be transferred to another hospital so they could get the help that they required. Now, at the end of the day, I still maintain people with alcoholic problems should be getting charged.
Are there not bigger problems, though, within the health system whenever you have to wait 16 hours to find the appropriate place for your loved one?
If alcoholics were not blocking the system, by turning around and going to A&E every other day when alcohol problems, and they started getting bills for abusing the system,
okay,
then you'll start to see a slight increase in what's going on there.
Okay, David, appreciate the call. Thank you very much indeed for that. Janice, you learned some of the concerns that David has, a lot of concerns he has around alcoholics and how some people coming in with drink problems are holding up the system. Just in terms of your staff on the ground and how they deal with the situation where you have somebody waiting 16 hours before they receive the appropriate care, how do you deal with patients in those circumstances?
Well, I think first thing I'd like to say is alcohol abuse and addiction is well recognised as a significant public health issue here in Northern Ireland. And the college, you know, has advocated for many years that we should be taking a public health approach to how we deliver services here. And one of those things would be to deal with that. And, you know, because into that minimum pricing and everything for alcohol. So I think there is an issue there. I'm not sure, you know, that nurses would feel comfortable with some of the suggestions that David has. And, I mean, they have to deal with the patients that are in the emergency department. Mm-hmm. So trying to look after somebody there for 18 hours or 20 hours, and indeed longer, is just absolutely horrendous because the environment is not designed to do that and the staff are not equipped to do that in that department. And it really does interfere with providing dignified care to patients. So,
and some would say, of course, they're not getting paid well enough as well in the jobs that they do. Tell us now about these nurses who are travelling to England at weekends for extra shifts over there to supplement their wages.
Yes, well, this was a story that appeared in a national newspaper yesterday, and I have to say that I, as the director of the college, was not aware that some of our nurses were doing that. However, what I will say is that the last survey that we did indicated that nurses in Northern Ireland were struggling to pay gas and electricity bills. It would appear from that article that these nurses are specialist nurses who carry out endoscopies and they are highly skilled. So a trust in England is dealing with its waiting lists, and it is bringing staff through an agency from elsewhere, in this case Northern Ireland, mm-hmm. to carry out these procedures on a Saturday and Sunday when they are not using that unit.
And what's it worth to them, Janice, just to put a figure on it?
Well, it was reported that nurses were being paid for two shifts £600, and that's a lot of money considering in their normal day-to-day work they would earn somewhere between £11 and £14 an hour as a specialist nurse. And, I mean, it's well known the college has, for the first time in its history, mm-hmm. our council has agreed to ballot members about industrial action about pay. Nurses in Northern Ireland, along with other healthcare staff, are getting paid 2011 pay rates today. Mm-hmm. That situation is definitely not sustainable, and I think that it's absolutely wrong.
Okay, let me ask Maeve McLaughlin about that. What does it say about our health service, Maeve, the fact that we have our well-trained specialist nurses here in Northern Ireland, and yet they have to travel, get on a plane, fly to England to supplement their wages so that they're working elsewhere and they can bring their money up to what they say is what they should be paid for what they do?
Well, I mean, I think it's a sad reflection on our services, a sad reflection on us as a society, I suppose, in terms of how we value the work that our health workers do. And I think particularly nurses and particularly frontline health service providers. And it's a sad indictment. And what we will do is we will lose these people. You know, and I do think that we need to step up in relation to this one. I do think, and I think it's all about the issue around workforce planning and what we need as a society to be able to move towards a proper public health model that is actually looks at issues around health inequalities. So we, and in all of that is the issue about fair pay, and I think fair pay for nurses. Because what will happen, and we see almost the reverse of it, you know, in our own trust here in the Western Trust, where there's up to last year the figure was £5 million was spent on locums alone, where we're having issues about actually recruiting, and those issues are not always, but sometimes about people voting with their feet for a better quality of life, for a better decent, you know, living wage. and going elsewhere to do that. So we do, as a society, need to value those who are delivering. What else?
Okay, let's hear from Christopher. Christopher, you were in the Ulster Hospital over the weekend. What was your experience like?
I was there on Friday afternoon. I arrived at about 1:30. Says the on the screen in the emergency room was the average number of people going through was about 30, 32 per hour. Says with only a couple of emergencies being brought in. Says and I was treated within 5 minutes in the triage. About 10 minutes after that, I seen the doctor and took blood samples, all the rest of it. I was in with chest pains and so on. Says and as I say, I've nothing but praise for them. They were very, very quick and very, very professional.
Mm-hmm. So all in all, then, you were in and out in how long?
Well, due to the fact that I had to get blood tests done and I had to get them done about 3 times, it says obviously you have to wait on the results and so on. So I arrived at about 1:30 and I was back in the car on the way home at 5:30.
Well, that's good to hear. Christopher, thank you very much indeed for contacting the programme this morning with a positive experience of how you were dealt with over the weekend. John from Newton Abbey. Go ahead, John. What do you think?
Good morning. Well, I'm afraid my experience is the opposite to your previous caller.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to recover from a stroke from last April. And I was sent back by the doctor, by my GP, to the Royal about 2 months ago. Something like that, six weeks to 2 months. Now, first of all, let me say, it took the ambulance 3 hours to get here. The ambulance was called about 6:15. And I eventually got to the Royal about 9:15. Now, outside the entrance to the accident and emergency at the Royal, there was at least 6 or 8 ambulances parked with patients in them. And those patients were being treated in the back of the ambulance. And there was no heat in the ambulances. So when you're lucky if you get out of the car park into the accident and emergency place.
Are you sure, John, they were being treated there?
Yes, I'm absolutely certain.
They weren't waiting to be brought inside, in other words. They weren't just waiting to be brought in.
Well, those whom they thought were serious enough were being treated.
But from what you could see, people were actually being treated...
Yes.
...in ambulances by doctors and nurses.
Well, I didn't see any doctors.
Mm-hmm. Paramedics.
I didn't see any doctors out at the ambulances. But I tell you what, now, there was a bank of 6 or 8 doctors sitting in the accident and emergency looking at TV screens.
Well, we can't stand over that, to be honest, John, because a lot of people contacting the programme full of praise for the staff they encountered in the A&E departments who are under immense pressure at this time of year to deal with everybody coming through their doors. John, thank you very much indeed for getting in touch with the programme. Kieran, you were listening to David earlier, and you're not happy about what he had to say in terms of charging alcoholics who use A&E departments and who he says clog up the whole system.
No, I'm not, because as I said, I've been an alcoholic. I'm 43 years old. I'm an alcoholic. I don't go near a doctor. I don't go near a hospital. So you can't charge people with the same brush.
But you can understand. Can you understand the point he was making about people who have taken too much alcohol and then find themselves in an A&E department, and he says that they're clogging up the system and they shouldn't really be there?
Somebody can fall out in the street and clog up the system. He's tarring people with the wrong kind of thing. People have problems. And he shouldn't be tarring alcoholics with that kind of stigma. If they're sick, they need to go to hospital. Like anybody else out there. I can understand people are frustrated by turning around and stating that the hospitals are clogged up at the minute. It's nothing to do with alcoholism. It's nothing to do with people being sick. It's actually to do with the government not providing money to the system. And that's what's to do with it.
So what would you say to David? Because he's still listening. He's still with us this morning.
I would like David to meet me, and he can meet my GP, and I invite him to meet me. And he can actually see that I don't go near a doctor. I don't go near hospitals. And as I said, I'm 43-year-old. I've been an alcoholic from when I was 11-year-old. I drank day and night. And I don't go near doctors. I prefer not to go near a doctor.
From 11 years old, you've been drinking?
Yes, I've been drinking from when I was 11 years old.
And all that time, have you ever managed to get off it?
Yes. For maybe 2 years. And it was to help to sit against the ocean, you're right. But, as it says, it didn't work for me. Well, that's the way life is. But as I said, I don't go near a doctor. I don't go near a hospital. And I don't like the way David's turning around saying the alcoholics are taking up the spaces in the A&E. I understand where he's coming from. Yes, he's frustrated. Like, we're all frustrated. The government are cutting back, and that's what it is. Nothing to do with certain people going to hospitals. That's all I've got to say on the subject. Thank you.
Well, we have David still with us, and you can respond to what Kieran had to say. David, go ahead there. He's pretty unhappy with the fact that you're singling out alcoholics.
Well, alcoholics should be charged for the abuse that they're putting through, accident and emergency, all over this Northern Ireland, and the Health Minister needs to deal with this and deal with it with a matter of urgency. First of all, he says he doesn't go near a doctor. When his kidney or one of his kidneys or liver starts packing in, he'll be going to A&E and he'll be getting help from one of the doctors because the doctor says he won't help. He's helping him. These people do need help, but accident and emergency is not the place for them. And I've seen this. Can I be honest? I used to work in the National Health Service and I've seen it myself day in, day out. And it's long overdue that these people come into the hospital and they make all kinds of allegations they're going to do this to themselves, they don't come do that to themselves, they don't get a bed. They get a bed and next morning they're gone and they need to be charged. They can have the money to abuse their bodies, they can have the money then to turn around and pay the bill. People who are genuinely need help, people with cancer, people with genetic conditions and stuff like that there who should be getting help, is not getting them blocked. By people, alcoholics, lying in hospitals when there's no place for them at all.
Kieran?
David, listen to me, mate. And I'm being very serious here. Listen to your reaction, what you were saying there. I can't even pronounce what I want to say to you because you're wrong. Alcoholism isn't taking up A&E.
Hold on.
Let Kieran finish his point, David. I'll bring you back in again then.
You want to charge people. Yeah, you want to charge people for a problem that they have. Well, if that's the case, then bring in the American system where they charge everybody.
No, why should people who genuinely need help who are not abusing the system who turn around be charged? Alcoholics are abusing the system.
Hold on a minute, Kieran. What about applying the same argument then to smokers, David?
Well, the people are abusing, if an alcoholic wants help, then he or she should be given help. But not sending them to accident emergency is not the way to help these people. And this man has just said quite clearly...
If I'm not explaining to you, I don't go to a hospital.
He has been drinking since he's 11 years old. His kidneys or his liver are on the verge.
And I will not be near a doctor or a hospital.
Hold on, David. David, let Kieran finish his point.
David, not every alcoholic will go near a hospital. It's like every cancer patient or somebody that gets hurt, not everybody will run to their doctor. So you have to put that in consideration. Not everybody is like that.
I
don't go near a doctor.
Kieran, you said you didn't go, you don't go near a hospital, so you won't be charged. So what are you worrying about?
Let Kieran make the point first of all, I'll bring you back in. David, you're turning around saying alcoholics are putting a dent on the NHS.
Yeah, yep.
If a child falls in the street, no, I'm not, because I don't go near a doctor. Trust me, I don't go near a doctor. I've sat and seen my own family die, and the one go near a doctor, so trust me, I won't let go near a doctor.
You won't be charged.
Listen to me. If a child falls in the street, or an elderly person, or even yourself, should you be charged? Because you're taking up A&E pain.
If someone hurts themselves accidentally, that's a different thing. People are abusing their bodies alcohol or other meds and means, they should be entitled to be charged for what they're doing. They're blocking the system.
Okay.
Let
me put something else to you then, David. Say if somebody has one or two drinks, isn't an alcoholic, falls, has to end up in the A&E department for treatment, should they be charged because they've had a drink?
If someone has one or two drinks and they've had an accident, no, they shouldn't be charged. But what I'm talking about is people on a daily basis. On a daily basis, you can nearly see it in these hospitals. They're coming up and they're drunk week or maybe week after week or day after day, and they're coming up and they're looking in the bed for the night. And they're blocking other people from getting beds. I have seen it. I have worked in the hospital for many years, and I have seen it myself.
Let me hear from... I'll bring you back in a moment, Kieran. I want to hear from Andy first of all. Andy, go ahead. What's your experience?
How you doing? I remember my wife at the minute, she went into the Ulster Hospital there at 3 o'clock Saturday morning, and I have great admiration for the people who work there, the nurses and the doctors. And at one stage before, she went into the Royal, and they put her in this ward, and all you could hear was snoring. And there was a guy laying facing her, and the doctor was examining him, and he smelled drink off him. And he said to him, "You have pains in your chest." He says, "Yes." He says, "How many drinks did you have?" He said, "About 20 pints." The doctor says, "Anyone, do you have pain in your chest?"
Yep.
And in our occasion, in the city hospital, There was a wee man laying in the next cubicle, and the nurse says to him, "Don't you try to get up." She had him sitting up on the bench. And as soon as she walked out, he fell and hit his head. So I was in for 24 hours. If you go to any hospital in Northern Ireland, between Thursday night and Sunday night, you'll see a lot of drunken people lying there.
Okay, Andy, we're going to have to leave it there. Andy, thank you very much indeed for your call, and thank you as well, Kieran and David. A pretty lively issue when it comes to pressure on our health service and what needs to be done to address the concerns that many people have. 030 30 80 55 55.